Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
Time now to talk with Justice Minister Andrew Little, and this week, unsurprisingly, it's all about abortion. The first reading of the government's abortion reform bill is set to go to first reading this afternoon in Parliament. It would take abortion out of the Crimes Act, meaning there is no test for abortion up to 20 weeks, and from then on there is still a statutory test focusing on the mental and physical well-being of the woman. It's a slightly more conservative version of one of three tests that was proposed by the Law Commission. But after the bill was announced earlier this week, New Zealand First has announced plans to seek a referendum on the issue. So what does it all mean for the bill itself?
Oh, good morning, Minister. Lovely to talk to you again.
Likewise.
It seems like it must have been a very busy week for you. I've had a lot of press releases.
Yeah, and it has been. Well, all these sort of bits of legislation sort of just coming off the end of the production line sort of thing. So, yeah, it has been.
Yeah, for sure. Well, unsurprisingly, I want to start with abortion law reform, which has finally made its way into the House. Of all the MPs in the House, I believe only two women MPs are on the record that they're going to be voting against the bill. Surely that says something.
Yeah, I think there's been the indications in the last few days have been better than I expected. That said, look, we only know what's happening once people have cast their votes. So we'll have a look at that. I think we always know, too, with conscience votes, like issues like, you know, like abortion, that you can get reasonably good numbers in the first reading. It's what happens in subsequent readings is really an indication of, you know, whether it's going to succeed or not. But the higher the numbers in the first reading, then the better it augurs for the later phases of the passage of the legislation. So, look, we'll see where we get to this afternoon. I'm reasonably confident we'll get a pass number this afternoon. It's going to be a question of how big that number is.
In terms of the bill itself, the Law Commission recommended there be no test for abortion up to 22 weeks. So why is it only 20?
That was a subject of a lot of discussion. And if you have a look around jurisdictions that have made abortion law reform in the last few years, the numbers, the gestational threshold number varies somewhere between 18 weeks and 24 weeks if you look at New York State. In the end, we settled on, or the reason we settled on 20 weeks is that that's the gestational threshold that's in our current law. It meets that the principal point that I think the Law Commission was making is that once you get to fetal viability, then other public policy considerations do arise. So it's well within that, but it is it's a number in a period that New Zealanders are used to. When you look at the timing of abortions at the moment, 98% of them happen within the first 16 weeks. I think 99.5% within 20 weeks, and there's a very small number after that. So I think the 20-week mark is probably about right in terms of the New Zealand experience.
One National MP has suggested that the bill is basically liberalising abortion right up until birth, but that's simply not true, isn't it?
No, it's a canard that is trotted out by the vehement anti-abortionists. They use this language of full-term abortion. As I say, a fetus that leaves the womb at full term, that process is called birth. It's not an abortion. And you look at what's happening in abortions or with abortions in New Zealand at the moment. 99.5% happen up to that 20-week mark. And there's a very, very small number that happen after that. And as the Law Commission said, that very, very small number that happens afterwards is because either the woman's health is severely compromised and in fact endangered, or the fetus is severely compromised or endangered, and that's why those very late abortions happen.
There were, I believe, three different models that the Law Commission proposed. You ended up going with a slightly more conservative version of one of them. Was that to try and get New Zealand First on board?
Well, in the end, if we want to make change, we've got to have the numbers across Parliament. And so I had a lot of discussions with New Zealand First, obviously, and most of the discussions were with them. The Greens were very good and very accommodating. And they, you know, they're certainly in favour of abortion law reform. But actually, I had discussions with a couple of National MPs as well, and they were indicating that to get maximum numbers of them on side, then we do have to calibrate the level of change very carefully. So the bill as it stands at the moment achieves the fundamental change, which is getting abortion out of the Crimes Act and the stigma that goes with that for women who seek an abortion. And then I think through the other measures, I think achieves a level of change that recasts abortion as a woman's health choice, which is what it should be.
But if you were trying to get New Zealand First on board, you must have been a bit blindsided by this talk of a referendum in the past couple of days.
Yeah, look, that had never come up in all the discussions. And in fact, there were points where the issue of a referendum did come up, and I was assured no one was going to be seeking that, so we didn't go down that path. And I just found it a bit curious that it was not until after we'd actually announced the bill and lodged it and released it, then this talk from one of our coalition partners comes up about a referendum. It suggests to me something more about New Zealand First and its caucus and the way its leadership deals with issues in its caucus than it is anything to do with the coalition partnership. So, look, we'll leave that to New Zealand First. That's on them, what they do about that and how they manage it. I'm focused on this legislation and dealing with those MPs who do want to see change.
But fundamentally, they are a coalition partner. They are part of the government. You should expect to be able to trust what they say during discussions, shouldn't you?
Ordinarily, yes. That said, now this is a conscience issue. So MPs aren't necessarily bound by party positions as it is. MPs are free to vote how they wish. And although that's come out of the New Zealand First caucus, in the end, MPs can vote on this how they wish. And it'll be, I think what would be interesting about today and the first reading is just the extent of support from non-governing parties.
So if that SOP from New Zealand First regarding an abortion, if that doesn't end up going through, regarding a referendum on abortion doesn't end up going through, do you have faith that you'll have their party support on the bill as it stands?
Look, there's no guarantee about what might happen, except that the indications at the moment are that there are MPs from every party who are willing to support the change. In the end, the vote that, every vote counts in the end, because at any reading, an unsuccessful vote means it stops in its tracks. So it's about making sure that we get enough numbers right throughout, and we will get a good indication once we see today's numbers about, how we'd like to fare in the second and third readings. But, my objective, obviously, is to keep the numbers up all around. And whether or not there has to be a referendum and New Zealand First puts up an SOP will depend entirely on the numbers. They have to get numbers to support their referendum. And it's interesting, a lot of MPs saying, actually, this is a decision that MPs should be making. This is not the subject, or should not be the subject, of a referendum. It's not like the reform of cannabis and legalising personal use, where that is not permitted at all under our current law, so making that change is a big change. Abortions happen. There's 13,200 abortions a year in New Zealand. No one is, so we're not changing anything in that regard. What we're doing is changing the legal status of abortions. That ought not to be the subject of a referendum. That is a matter that MPs and Parliament should be able to decide on. So, look, we'll see where New Zealand First gets. They've said that they want a referendum. Let's see where we get to when we get to that phase of the decision. They may well change their mind. It's not beyond them to change their mind on other things.
And in terms of other parties, like you say, you have had conversations with National. It's been quite public that you've worked with Amy Adams on this bill and getting support for it. That must be good to see.
Yeah, and she's been fantastic, and she's totally committed to seeing change. As a lot of National MPs who have spoken to me this week have said, they think it's long overdue and they're keen to support it. They do want to examine. I have to say at this point too, take my hat off to Simon Bridges, who, his view about abortion, he's articulated before. He's the leader of a Conservative Party. His view that he's articulated before is not unremarkable. But even he has said this week that he is prepared to support it, to go to a select committee for an examination and a public debate. And I think that's an admirable stance to take. It is good that if we get the numbers, that there will be detailed examination and a chance for the public to have their say. And if we get to that point, then that's a positive thing.
And yet, something I wanted to raise about Simon Bridges in an interview this week on the subject of abortion, he said one person's misinformation is another person's facts. Is that the sort of rhetoric we want to be hearing in New Zealand politics?
As a statement of general principle, yeah, I think it's not something I subscribe to at all. And it was in relation to the statement that you alluded to earlier, an MP saying that this allows for full-term abortion. And it was in response to that I think Simon Bridges said, oh, yeah, one person's whatever it was is in another person's fact. So, look, that is not the way, you know, you have a debate. And facts are not malleable. Facts are facts. So, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that that wasn't entirely what he meant when he said that, but, you know, maybe I'll have to ask him
that. I think that's good to hear that that's your view from a Justice Minister. Thank you so much, and I wish you all the best with that first reading of the bill this afternoon.
Cheers, thanks, Drew.
Good luck. Talk next week.
That was Justice Minister Andrew Little. Just to clarify, I said at the start that it was a government bill. Technically, it's not actually a government bill because it is a conscience vote, but it was signed off by Cabinet, which is what I was sort of implying at that, with that statement. And in terms of those women who have expressed on the record that they won't be voting for the bill, I thought one point raised by National's Parmjeet Palmer was particularly interesting. She said she's not going to be voting for the bill at first reading because New Zealand is a multicultural country, and in some of the countries that our diverse communities come from, sex-selective abortions are a reality. And at 20 weeks, there's opportunity there to identify the gender of the fetus, and you may be able to choose to abort it based purely on that fact, which I think is a really interesting conversation that certainly is worth discussing. But my issue, the only issue I take with what Parmjeet Palmer has said, is why not vote for the bill at first reading so that this issue can be raised at the select committee phase, and there might be able to be some protections put into it, because nowhere else in this particular statement have you said that you're against abortions in other circumstances. So anyway, that's what I'd say, but I think it's a very interesting conversation worth having. Anyway, that was Justice Minister Andrew Little.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. The Wire.